Thank you, for Stephanie, for sharing your story. Powerful. But I know this, at all locations, there are women that you have a deep pain. And it's amazing how God, through His grace, can take our pain and turn it into His purpose for His glory. Right? God can take a deep disappointment, and He can still get us on to the destiny He has for our lives. God can take a deep hurt and heal our hurts, and that hurt be a hope for someone else down the road, right? And that's what He does. I just want to say thank you for being here today. We're celebrating Mother's Day by celebrating all the women in the house. And come on, men, at all locations, at Deer Creek, at Guthrie, at Freedom House in Oklahoma City right now, let's just give it up for all of the women. Come on, men, let's make it happen. Yeah. Thank you so very much. Turn with me in your Bibles, the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. We're starting a new series today called Warriors to Warriors. Say that fast multiple times. 19 years ago, I had my last knee surgery. 30 years of age, or 31, and went in after I'd had multiple reconstructive knee surgery and several surgeries over the years. And the two doctors who did the operation on me came out and said that it is really, really, really bad. In fact, you are actually a candidate right now. You need to have total knee replacement. But they said, we think you might be able to get a few more, maybe 2 to 5 more years out of your knee, and so we'll see how we can do that. And so I praise the Lord that 19 years later, I still have not had that total knee replacement. But about 3 years ago, the pain got pretty bad, fierce, that I decided to go ahead and have the total knee done. So I called up my orthopedic surgeon. I did call him up directly. We've been good friends all the way since college, and he actually attends North. And so I called him up and said, hey, I'm ready for that total knee replacement. He said, great, I'll get it on the schedule. I'll let the office know. They'll be contacting you in the next several days. We'll get it figured out. So that was the call made, schedule it. The very next day, I go into a bicycle shop, and I'm getting some work done on my mountain bike, and I walk in, and I talk to some of the guys, and I see the owner. The owner's a few years older than me, and I haven't seen him in a while. He's in very good shape. He rides a lot. And I walked over to him. He walked from out behind the counter, and I noticed that he had a prosthetic on his leg from his knee down. And I'm like, what happened to you? He said, well, I went in for a total knee replacement. And he said the titanium that they put in his knee, his body rejected. And so he had surgery 1, surgery 2, surgery 3, and finally on the 4th surgery, they had to amputate his from his knee down. So when I left the bicycle shop, I called up an orthopedic surgeon and said, hey, let's cancel that surgery. And he said, why? And I told him the story that I just told you. And he said, that never happens. And I said, well, it just did happen. So surgery off. About a year and a half later, I got to the point like, let's get it done. Year and a half later, I call him up again and I say, hey, let's schedule this surgery. I'm ready now. He said, good, we'll get this going. Somebody will contact you in the next couple of days. I schedule it the very next day, folks. I go in to get a haircut. And the person that cuts my hair goes to our church. And I sat down. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. Because 5 minutes into it or less, she says, you'll never believe this. I said, what? She said, one of the individuals that she cuts her hair, her good friend, went in to have a total knee replacement and died. I said, what happened? Said, well, she went home, she got fever, she came back, she had staph infection, and she died. So when I left my haircut, I called my orthopedic surgeon up and said, hey, I'm canceling the surgery. he said, why? I told him the story that I just told you, and he said, that never happens. I said, well, it just did happen. So now, fast forward another year and a half, I called him up and said, hey, let's schedule this thing. I actually saw him for consultation in his office. It's been about a week and a half. It is on the schedule for a few weeks down the road. It is on the schedule. I have not had any people that I have met that have lost knees or died from total knee or heard of. Now, granted, I told my doctor, I said, now I'm not getting on Google and looking for some crazy thing that happened around the world. But I told him, I said, up until the day of that surgery, I don't care if it's the morning of the surgery and I'm driving there. But if I meet somebody or somebody calls me and they know personally somebody who lost a leg or they died from this surgery, I'm canceling you right now, okay? And he said, I understand. I'm all for that. I won't charge you a penny, okay? Today, we're talking about worry. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6 says this. Look at it closely. Do not worry about, say it with me, anything. Now let's read that together. Do not worry about anything. One more time. Do not worry about anything. Now there's no wiggle room with that. You think about that. There's no wiggle room. Do not worry anything. What's the topic? Worry. Okay, now if you say, take that literally, there's a lot of us that struggle with that. Matter of fact, I would say every single person at some point in some way and at some extreme struggles with the topic of worry. And today we're going to address this and we're going to look at it because, you know, I'm going to talk about winning the war against worry. Because all of us have doubts, we have fears, we have anxieties, we have the things that we just really can't trust others or we can't trust God, which is all an issue of worry. But I believe through this series that you can learn how to cast off worry, how to walk in courage, how to live by the Spirit and trust God in faith and become a mighty warrior in Jesus Christ. How many wants that? And it's a journey, folks, but let me give you the definition of worry. Worry is this. Worry is our craving to control the uncontrollable. And all of us have a craving to control something. Now, what you want to control may be different than what I want to control, but what is it that you want to control? It could be a job, it could be finance, it could be relationships, it could be your health, it could be the weather. Good luck in Oklahoma. But all of us have things that we try to control. That is a struggle. Now, I'm going to talk about two things that Jesus laid out. First off is this. I want to talk about what he and how he described worry. And he tells us a lot of good information in the verses to come about worry and warnings. Secondly, I believe he gives us some tips on winning the battle against worry. So first off, let's look at the teachings of Jesus. Okay? Now, notice this. In the scripture, he's going to ask a lot of questions. Now, remember this. When Jesus asks a question, it's never for his benefit. When Jesus asks a question, it's for your benefit and for my benefit, right? He's trying to get you to think. He's trying to get you to see the real issues that are at hand. So let's look at it. Verse number 25. Jesus says, I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you will have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? That's a great question. So first off, in your notes, write this down. Worry is unreasonable. How do I know that? Because it exaggerates and elevates wrong things in your life. It'll take something so small. How many of you have ever had the moment where you start thinking about something and whatever it is has grown into this huge thing in your life? Anybody? Yeah, I have. Because the enemy wants to elevate, exaggerate things where it becomes out of control in your mind. You see, it is unreasonable to worry if you really look at it. Because think about this. We say we believe in God. We say we believe he created all things. So if he created this planet and all the planets, why can't we trust him for our paycheck? If we say we trust him with our lives and our eternal salvation, that we're going to spend eternity with him, and that he really did send his son out of eternity into time to die on a cross for us, and he really kind of, you hear the term bankrupt heaven, so to speak, to give his very best to die for us, and yet we can't trust him. If he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and he supplies everything for the birds of the air, how much more should we learn to trust him? See, he's trusted us. We believe for our eternal life, but how about for our everyday living? You put that into reason. Like, hello. Next is this. Look at verse 26. Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in the barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, here's the question. Notice all the questions he's asking. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? That's a great question. Yeah, I'm not a bird watcher, but obviously Jesus is pointing out here the birds know how to benefit from God's system. And they know how just to depend on what is provided for them every day. They're not worrying and fretting. You think about this for a second. Worry? Birds don't worry. Dogs don't worry. Fish don't worry. Cats don't worry. Cats create worries, but they don't worry. But people worry. Why do people worry? Because go back to the very beginning. It's a sin issue. It's a pride issue. Because you know what pride does? Pride kind of drives back to it's rooted in this suspicion. It's rooted in this distrust, this feeling that I can do a better job taking care of myself than God can. And that's sin, folks. And when sin happened, all of creation fell under the curse. But the truth of the matter is, it wasn't creation that messed up. Creation still trusts its God. It's people who have messed up. So therefore, there's that sense of distrust. That, oh, no, I can handle it better than my God can handle it in my life. You know, and trust is, and worry is a learned thing. Babies don't come out of the womb worrying. They come out crying. And the reason why they came out crying is because it was a whole lot better in there than out here. They were warmer, safer. You know, there's not cold room, somebody slapping them on the butt, bright lights in their face. They was a lot better. But they're not worrying. They're not saying, like, where am I going to get something to eat? What am I going to do? What about tomorrow? What about, no. No, they just simply trust the parents that God has given to them. And what happens over time? Kids learn to distrust. Why? Because of expectations not met, because of disappointments, because of hurt and rejection, and all of those things that happen in life that are usually caused by what? Other people, not by God. No, it's the people that have circled our life that have created that distrust. And then all of a sudden, there becomes to be a worry. It's unnatural. Worry is, write this down, number two, unnatural. Just people worry. So just remember this. It's unnatural for you to worry. God wants you to rely upon him. Look at verse number 27. It says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Another great question Jesus has. In other words, what he's saying is this. Can your worry add a moment to your life? Can it add an inch of stature to you? Can it cause you to lose 5 pounds, 1 pound? No. No worry can't do that. You know what worry can do? Worry can shorten your life. Matter of fact, statistics show, and it's been proven, that worry creates sickness and disease and all these things. It adds stuff to you that was not meant to be added to you. So write this down in your notes. Worry is unhealthy. It is unhealthy. So 19 years ago, I had my surgery, and they were told that I would have to have total knee replacement in a matter of 2 to 5 years. At best, it could be even shorter than that. So I said, what is the things that I need to do to make sure that I extend the life of my knee? And they said, the number one thing that you need to do is keep the weight off. Do that first. Now, they talk about strengthening my muscles, other things, but the first thing, keep the weight off. Because they said, for every pound, for everything you add, you are going to shorten the life of your knee. So I began to work at that because I wanted to make sure that I keep the weight off. Because here's the truth of the matter. Worry weighs on you. And worry wears you out. And worry will take the best of your days from you. It's unhealthy. 1 Peter says it this way, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. In other words, take the weight off and give it to him. Now, when I say that, I know it's not that necessarily easy. I'll give you what Jesus laid out in regards to how to do that in just a little bit. I'm just giving some information that Jesus has given us in regards to why not worry. This, you shouldn't be doing this. In fact, people say this, I'm worried sick. Have you ever heard that term? That's a true statement. You worry, you will get sick. It will make you feel bad. It will do things for you that you don't want. Look at verse number 30. Excuse me, look at verse number 28. And why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. So write this down. Worry is unhelpful. Worry is unhelpful. So one of the things that I struggle with is speeding. I've been specifically thinking about speeding since now I have my North Church decal on my truck. But when I speed, I have noticed that my worry level goes up. Anybody ever notice that? When you break the law, you tend to get worried. What am I worried about? I'm worried about police officers seeing me speed, clocking me speed, and pulling me over to have a conversation. And I'm worried about the ticket that could come with that. But you stop and think about it. That's a worry that is unhelpful that I have actually added to my own life that is needless. There's a lot of worries that we've added to our life that is needless, folks. Come on, there's some of you right now that you are worried sick because you have just finished your finals. And you are worried. It's too late. You might as well give up. You're worried if you're going to get a D or if you're going to get a C. You're praying for that professor to give you a C instead of a D. And you're like, oh, God, please, oh, God. And God's saying, no, you should have studied. If you just would have studied, stop and think about it. What is it that you can do something about? And do something about it. And then everything else that you can't control, leave to God. And say, God, I just give it to you. I trust you with it. Because I've heard people say, worry's keeping me up at night. Worry's never going to work to get your job done. It's never going to fix your problems. It's never going to correct your marriage. It's never going to correct your finances. It's never going to heal your body. It's never going to do that. You got to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Is anyone listening to me today? Okay. Look at verse number 30. It says, and if God, this is Jesus still speaking, and if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and are thrown in the fire tomorrow, will he certainly care for you? Why do you have so, and this is the issue, little what?
Faith.
Faith. So write this down. Worry is unnecessary. Worry is unnecessary. Growing up in my home, I never worried about a meal being on the table. I don't remember at 5 years old. Now, if you came from a family that was a real issue that you were worried about things as a child, you know, I can't relate to that, but I got a feeling most people listening to me at all locations, as a child, you weren't always worried about everything. Because you just know mom and dad's going to show up with stuff. I asked dad for something, it's just going to happen. You just kind of learn to trust them. It was over time that we began to learn more and more what it means to worry. And you said, our Heavenly Father just wants us to learn to trust Him and rest in Him. Because worry is unnecessary. Worry distracts you from the work of God in your life. Worry preoccupies you and keeps you from the purpose God has for you. I was thinking back to one thing my mom said early on, and I was so glad to have her at one of our experiences today. It was great to have mom. And she would say this to me. My little brothers would bug me. I was the oldest of four boys. And they would bug me and pick up, you know, just not pick on me, but bug me. And I'd get all frustrated. And mom made the statement to me. She said, Rodney, okay, you're letting them bug you. I said, what do you mean, mom? They're bugging me. They're really bugging me. He said, if you will get better at ignoring them than they are at bugging you, you can win. Think about that for a second. I believe a lot of times the devil is trying to bug us with worry. And what we've got to do is get good at ignoring him so that we can win this battle. Because he's going to come to torture your mind. He's going to come to put worries and fears and doubts and concerns inside of you. You've got to learn to ignore him, because what he is bringing, he is the father of lies, and he is not going to bring anything but pain and heartache and suffering and worries for you, right? Trust Jesus. Look at verse number 31. Notice verse number 31. As Jesus teaches us how to win the war against worry, he says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? Notice this. These things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Stop there for just a moment. Some of you may want to write this down. God has promised to provide for supply for all of our needs, right? Have you heard that before? It's scripture. God has promised to provide all of our needs, not all of our greeds. And I think we got to stop and realize, what are we chasing after that's based in greed, not in trust in God? What is it that we're going after that really is just selfish ambition and desires that we're fretting over? And what is it that we just need to trust God for that's basic needs for everyday life, right? He said, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Continue on. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Happiness is a choice. I've said it many times, but let me say this. Worry is also a choice. Now, it might not be easy, but it is simple, and it's rooted in these simple principles here. First off is this: get to know Jesus. Because the deeper you go in that relationship with Jesus, the more you are going to find a trust in him than in yourself. I was thinking this past Valentine's Day, it was a very special time. Shannon and I went to go out to eat, as we've done many times, and this is the day before Valentine's. And no, it was the day of Valentine's Day this year. And we go out to eat, and we share our gifts. And when she gave me my gift, I was blown away. In fact, I think about this gift every single day now. Where I can tell you in the past, maybe I don't think of a gift every single day, but I think about this gift every single day. She gave me a notebook. And in the notebook, I opened it up, and it was 365 days of love notes. From the previous Valentine's up to this Valentine's Day, every single day she had journaled in there something about me that she loved, that she appreciated, or a prayer over me. It could be something that actually happened that day, or if I was a jerk like I am some days, she probably just made up something. But she just wrote a love note to me. Come on. Let me tell you this. There's two things that's important for me and Shannon, our relationship. The words we say, I love you, the commitment, the promises, in the presence of each other. When it comes to getting to know Jesus, there's two things that are very important. His scriptures and his spirit. That equals Jesus. Scripture plus spirit. Come on, church, I want you to hear me this, because there's a lot of, quote, believers that say they love Jesus, but this word is not a part of their everyday life. This word is a second thought. It's something that they get maybe just when they show up on the weekend. No. St. Jerome, one of the great theologians said this, is that ignorance of scriptures is ignorance of Christ. And that is so true. If you do not know the word from Genesis to Revelation, the more you get of God's word, the more you get of an understanding of who Jesus Christ is and the power of God in your life. And the Spirit of God goes hand in hand with the scripture of God. And they support each other. It's the presence of God that will lead you, that will guide you, that will direct you every day. Because there's going to be moments when you are not going to have the right words. You're not going to know what they, but the Spirit of God will speak for you. The power of God will pray for you. There's times that you don't even know what to pray. And the Bible says the power and the Spirit of God will pray for you. Church, you need the scriptures and you need the Spirit of God. And the deeper you get in both of those, the more revelation you have of who Jesus Christ is. Thank you for the one hand clap in Oklahoma City. I was thinking when Jesus said in one of the scriptures, he said, they'll come to me on the day, he said, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. What is your relationship like with Jesus? Seriously, stop and think about that. The deeper you get in that relationship, the more you will be able to handle what the enemy throws your way. Secondly is this, learn to think like Jesus. So first off, he talked and he said the unbelievers. He threw out that word. So you got to be a believer and know what it means to trust in Christ. But secondly, he made this statement. He says those things dominate the thoughts. Those things dominate the thinking of other people. You got to learn to think like Jesus. See, I said earlier that worry is a learned behavior. We learn in our mind how not to deal with the topic of worry. The mind is a powerful tool. In fact, I was thinking about several years ago whenever I started kind of getting in after my knee surgery and keeping the weight off. And then when I was doing pretty good till I got about 40, and then I kind of started gaining some weight because I kind of grew up just from the time I was a teenager drinking like malts and cereal. And all that. I'm talking 10, 11 o'clock at night. After a big meal, then eating a really big meal before you go to bed. How many of you grew up doing that or you still do that, okay? And I really realized that is not working. I'm having to work out harder and it's not doing any good. And so somebody taught me something that I kind of knew, but I had to go through it with somebody else, what it means to lose weight. And that I had to measure my intake, my outtake, and realize that it takes time, okay? So your intake, your outtake, and that it takes time. So the intake is I got to count calories. I've got to realize that there's some things that even have to go out of my life. Some of the bread, some of the dairy, some of the things. I've got to simplify things. I've got to keep my portions down so that my intake, my calorie count, goes down. Secondly, I've got to take care of my outtake. In other words, I've got to make sure that I'm burning more calories than I'm actually bringing in. So therefore, I have to have the right workout routine. I've got to do the right stuff. And when I do that, it will help out my metabolism and will help burn more calories than I'm bringing in. And then thirdly, realize that it takes time, because in our culture, we want it now. We want to lose the 10 pounds now. We want it right now. So we will take pills. We will try gadgets. We will try, you know, infomercial ideas, and we'll buy it all up because we are what? Trying to lose it right now. And things don't always happen that way. Well, when it comes to learning to think like Jesus, you got to remember, you got to have the intake, the outtake, and then also realize it takes time. So the intake is the word of God. What does God's word say to you? Have you hid God's word in your heart so that you will not sin against God? The Bible says, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. How can you know the mind of Jesus? Jesus without the scripture and without the spirit. So you got to have the intake. And then you got to take care of the outtake. What does that mean? There's some things that's going to find its way in there that you got to outtake it. You got to get it out of your life. The Bible says simply this. It said that when you have thoughts that are unlike Christ, You got to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Jesus. That means you got to grab hold of them and throw them out. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, I've got to do that all the time. I mean, throughout the day, all day, I have thoughts coming to my mind that I'm like, uh-uh, that's not good. Hit that person in the nose? No, no, that's not a thought that I need to have. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're going to have those thoughts. They're going to be thoughts of envy, of jealousy, of hate, of lust. You're going to have those thoughts of worry, of fear, and you got to take that thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus. And then finally, it takes time. Daily, as you give yourself to intake and outtake, you're going to learn to think more like who? Jesus. Lastly, seek Jesus above all. Seek Jesus above all. How many of you have ever lost something precious to you? What do? You'll turn over every seat cushion. You'll go through every part of your house looking for it. You'll do whatever you can to get to that. Have you ever lost a child for a little bit? I think every parent at some point maybe has lost in a mall or somewhere just for a moment. If it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. We were doing a youth camp in Colorado once, and we lost our son, Gavin. And it was 25 minutes of hell on earth for my wife and I. Because the major highway was right there. Gavin had went over to a cabin. Fortunately, it turned out positive and good. But those 25 minutes was absolutely horrendous. Jesus came seeking to save that which is what? And it's odd that God now says for us to seek after him. Seek first what? The kingdom of God. Seek. So you know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying with the same passion that I've came after you, find within you that passion to come after me. And as you do that, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will what? It'll begin to fall into place. In chapter number 7, Jesus kind of wraps up worry by saying this, because he has a long passage of worry. Notice what he says. Just keep asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. There's some of you right now that you're worried, you're fearful. It may be health issues, it may be finances, it may be a relationship, it may be, there's things that in your mind, there's a battle. I know, I've been there like you many times struggling, but here's what I'm telling you to do. Jesus is saying this, no, don't turn to your own source. Don't turn to your own ability. Keep knocking at my door, he's saying. Keep seeking after him. Keep asking for him. And you might not get what you want today, but keep going back to him. And you know what you do? As you're going back to him, you're getting more and more of Jesus. You're learning how to think like Jesus. You're seeking for more of Jesus. And you know what's going to happen? It doesn't matter whether you get it right now or not. When you are wrapped up in Jesus, all is going to be okay, because you know that he who holds the planet in his hands holds your life and can take care of you and your situation. And it's all going to work out. Close our eyes. All across this place, if you just mind, just close your eyes, maybe bow your heads at all locations. Let's let the Holy Spirit speak to people right now. If you're here and you need Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you need to follow after him, God is speaking to you right now. I want us all to pray this prayer together. It's a prayer of forgiveness. And I believe that there's some that this prayer is going to transform your life from death into life, to becoming a follower of Jesus. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need the forgiveness you offer. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. I pray this in your name. the name of Jesus. With eyes still closed and no one looking around. Now I want to ask, maybe there's something that you're worried about now. Or maybe this past week or in the week to come that's, and you're saying, I want to learn to trust Jesus with these issues. And if it's anything like all the other experiences, there has been so many people stood because we all struggle in some way, but there's things pressing on your life. Maybe it could be health related. It could be related to a relationship, to finances, to your job, to your future, to something out of control in the market. Things where you're saying, I want to trust Jesus with my worries and I want to give it all to Him. And God's speaking to you at all locations, Deer Creek, Guthrie, Freedom House in Oklahoma City. If that's you and you want freedom and you want to go from a warrior to being a warrior, stand to your feet right now. If that's you, just stand. I'm going to give it to you, God. I'm going to trust you, God. That's what you're saying when you're standing. This situation, you're thinking of things that you've got to trust God for. It could be your future. It could be decisions in your life. I want to pray over everyone standing at all locations right now. Would you hold out your hands and receive this prayer as like you're receiving? Father, I pray now that by faith, we trust in you. And God, we believe in you. And so we give you our fears, our doubts, our anxieties, and all those things. We want to cast them off and let you carry them instead of us. We want to be worry-free. We want to be a warrior for Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen.